about 3 years ago, took it upon herself to get accredited by the Academy of Diabetes Education and started building out a diabetes self-management education course through the pharmacy. So we've had patients come in either under their own will and wanting to learn more or from physician referral, and she's sat down with them for the last couple of years, and she's been really building that program out, and we're excited it's starting to take up speed, and people are starting to pay attention to it because people were getting good results from sitting down with our pharmacists and discussing what the best way is to manage their diabetes.
Once you get it, you got it.
Correct.
That's it.
Yep, and that's kind of the somber fact of it, but it is something that we do manage chronically throughout our lifetime once we have it. And a lot of the time,
is that getting easier?
It is easier. Yes and no. It's a two-pronged approach. And from the drug standpoint, it's amazing how many different drug products are available on the market now, and the amount of research that's gone into treating the disease. But the other coin is the drugs only go so far. And so one of the things that we really emphasize, especially in class and just when I'm counseling patients in general, is it truly is a lifestyle modification. And it's a lot of, you know, it's a big thing to take ownership of, because you have to understand that there's a lot to understand about the disease itself. There, you know, if you were living life to the fullest, so to speak, in some respects, in terms of diet and what you were doing from that standpoint, sometimes those things have to change quite drastically. And depending from person to person, that can be a big change. Not everybody is readily equipped or ready to make those choices.
Sure.
So that's one of the big things is the lifestyle modifications have to help the drugs that we use to help you manage your diabetes. The drugs themselves certainly can't do it on their own. And that's one of the common misconceptions that sometimes people have. And we work really hard to make sure that people understand this is one part of it. And we want you to really, we'll help you turn your, you know, life around and do what we can for you to help you manage this the best we can.
So two types, type 1 and 2.
Correct. The type 1 and type 2. So type 1 is the less common one. Approximately 5% of the population has it, so that's about 1.25 million Americans have type 1. It's estimated that another 40,000 people will be newly diagnosed with it each year in the United States. It was previously known as juvenile diabetes because it's something that we see early on in life. That's not necessarily the case, however. There's more adults that have type 1 than children. And type 1 is where the body, your pancreas is what's responsible for producing the insulin hormone, which is
right.
What helps regulate the blood sugar in your body. And type 1, your body just does not make any insulin. So that's why we used to call it juvenile diabetes, is because we are seeing this in younger children. When they're born, they just do not have any insulin in their body, and their blood sugars were high. So that's managed solely with providing insulin to the body to help control the blood sugar. And a lot of times patients have an insulin pump in those cases where it's monitoring what their blood sugar is, and then those pumps are able to calculate the amount of insulin the body needs at a given point in time, and it automatically administers that dose.
Mm-hmm.
And then type 2, which is the much more common one, so 90 to 95% of the population, that is the one where the body does not use the insulin that it has properly, or it becomes desensitized to it. And that can be because of the amount of blood sugar in the body. And we call that insulin resistance. So you're just feeding the body sugar all the time, and the insulin does not know what to do with it. And the insulin, essentially, I kind of think of it as a lock and key method where your body needs, the cells in your body need sugar to run their processes. And insulin is kind of the lock, and sugar is the key. So when sugar is trying to get into the cells, when you start to have insulin resistance, it's like you're using the wrong key in a lock, and sugar can't get in to do its job, and that's
right.
How we have insulin resistance. Everybody can be affected by it. However, there are some people that have a higher risk of developing, and it is more common in the African-American population, Latinos, Native Americans, and Asian-American Pacific Islanders. Those races seem to have a higher risk for it, as well as older adults.
So what are you guys doing at Brown's to help I guess, fight diabetes.
Yeah, a lot of it is just a raising awareness. We work with different physician offices. Like I said, we do get referrals from some physicians in town that reach out to us when they think that their patients could benefit from our self-management education course. And the pharmacy offers a one-on-one and group classes. And they focus primarily on education and empowering people with diabetes to live happy, healthy lives. And like I said, we're accredited by the American Academy of Diabetes Educators. And in class, we discuss diabetes and the complications and the overall look at the disease. We look at the lifestyle modifications. The diet is a big part of that, so we help people interpret food labels and how to really decipher all the information on a food label to make healthy choices. We look at self-care and preventative care. Preventative care is being really, really highlighted now because if we can get out in front of things and make sure that we don't have to use a bunch of medications by making changes early versus having somebody pay a lot of money to get a whole bunch of medications, we like to do that instead.
Mm-hmm.
We teach you how to test your own blood sugar and interpret those numbers and what your blood sugar numbers mean. We also look at the mental health aspects. Like I said, diabetes can be a major life-changing event. You were living life one way, you get this news, and now you have to set a course for a totally different way to live your life. We can help you kind of decipher and pick apart, you know, what that means, how you're feeling about it. So we have an emphasis on that as well.
It's tough to ease into it, too.
It is.
Like I mean, you've got to – don't you have to jump in with 2 feet, really?
Depending on where you are when we see the numbers, it can be. Sometimes we see it a little bit more where people will go to the doctor and they might see once they look at blood tests. The big things, the two numbers that we really look at are your blood sugar number, and then there's a number that we look at called hemoglobin A1C, which is a percentage. And that number gives us a kind of a – it's almost like a batting average. It kind of gives us a three-month period of we're looking at how your body and the – and your red blood cells are utilizing sugar. And that kind of gives us, like I said, it's almost like a batting average. So, you know, a blood sugar number that you take at any given point in time might not necessarily be a really good marker of how your diabetes is going as a whole. I mean, you come back from a big meal and test your blood sugar and your blood sugar is high.
Sure.
That doesn't necessarily mean that that's what you're doing all the time. So that A1C level that we look at as a percentage gives us a better idea of about a 90-day window. And so we can make better decisions on what we want to do with those lifestyle modifications or managing your medications.
So if somebody has questions, they can come over to Brown's.
Absolutely.
And consult with you guys?
Absolutely. Physicians and patients alike, if you want more information about the course, come on in and see us over on Robinson Road in the Ganton facility or 517-750-2180. We also have a Facebook page that's chock full of information on a number of different health topics, and we have a lot of people that reach out to us on Facebook as well, so come and say hi to us.
We got to touch on, before we leave, Medicare open enrollment underway.
It is, and it is never the same twice. It is always a bear for the healthcare professionals and patients alike. There is so much information out there. You see all these ads. Everybody wants to talk to you about it, myself included. So a lot of times it's people just have their head spinning. Where do we go? And we have a lot of people that come into the pharmacy to ask a lot of questions about their plans.
Well, let me ask you this. What's the best way to get started? I guess looking for a plan.
Yeah, the best way to get started. So Medicare.gov is the federal government website that lists out a lot of plans. And when you start that process, it'll have you punch in all the medications that you're taking currently, and then based on that, it will do some calculation, and it spits out a plan that will be best suited for you from a couple of different ways in terms of saving you money. Now, however, from the pharmacy standpoint, we look at that where patients come in, and they want to use our pharmacies, and one of the things now that pharmacy benefit management companies and insurance companies are putting – pretty much every pharmacy in the United States is going into buckets now of a preferred versus a non-preferred pharmacy. And people get a lot of things in the mail that can sometimes almost feel threatening in terms of the language that these guys use sometimes, where it's, you know, you're not using a preferred pharmacy and you could be losing the farm, so to speak. I've had people come in tears that have used our pharmacy for years and say, I have to leave. And we say, why? Well, I'm not a preferred you're not my preferred pharmacy. I have to go. And no, you do not. That is one of the biggest questions that we get is, do I have to leave if you're not preferred? And it can be, you know.
Who's telling you that?
It's a lot of times it's the insurance companies. Okay. They're driving people towards those preferred pharmacies because that it can potentially lower copays for the patients. But I've seen instances where that's just not the case.
Sure.
I've seen non-preferred pharmacies have better rates. So if people ever have questions about that, we also do have consult services at the pharmacy. And we use Medicare.gov and some of our other programs, especially if you're somebody who's come in the door before, we have a lot of your information, and we're able to plug that in based off of the medication profile that we have, and we can help point you in the best direction for a plan that will work for you and your family. And, you know, even if that's not with us, we can help you make that choice or at least point you in a direction to get more assistance.
Well, Austin, what about a younger person maybe looking for insurance for the first time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be something where I would definitely sit down and speak with either, you know, an insurance representative in the community, or you can come into the pharmacy. A lot of the times for plans with otherwise general healthy younger adults,
right?
The plans can be a little bit better suited, so you might not have to worry about so much for prescription drug coverage where you're worried about, you know, what my copays are going to be, but that looks a little bit more at Medicare Part A and Part B, which take a better look at hospital visits and doctor visits.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be an instance where the prescription drugs themselves might not be the biggest concern, but what kind of coverage do I need? For example, in the case of a catastrophic accident, I get in a car accident or something tragic happens, that might be a time where you want to lean a little bit more towards coverage like that versus having to worry about 15 prescription drugs and what that's going to do to my budget for the year. But that's every case is individual. Everybody has their own story to tell. So a lot of the times that's what we love is when people come in and ask us what they're looking for, and we're able to sit down with them and we can help kind of navigate.
Do you have time to do that?
Oh, we make time for you. Yes, we do. We can set up appointment based, but first thing it does is, you know, one of the things that we love about taking care of people is, you know, what's the difference between you and the other guy down the street is walk through the door and let me show you. And we'd make time for you. That's one of the things that we pride ourselves for. If you come in and you want to speak with us, we will make time to set you up with a pharmacist or a staff member and talk these things through with you, because we understand what a big decision it can be for your life, and we want to help you with that.
So stop by Brown's or
please
call.
Please stop by the pharmacy.
Ask questions.
Please call. Yep, the question unasked is the one that will get you every time. So if you come in and ask questions, we would be happy to help you whenever you need it.
And your phone number?
We are 517-750-2180 on Robinson Road in the Ganton facility.
Austin Brown from Brown's Advanced Care Pharmacy.